B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Tzadik. We're going to start 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Peites Omid Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hamoitzi Eitzim, if somebody takes out from Roshus HaYochid into Roshus HaRabim, or vice versa, wood. How much wood does he have to take out to be called a significant act of carrying that he will be chayev on Shabbos? K'dei levashil beitzo kalo. As much wood as is needed in order to cook a beitza kala, as we've seen previously in the Gemara, this means an egg of a hen, and not even a whole egg, just a gregarious, the size of a dried fig, of an egg of a hen. As much wood as is needed to cook such an egg, that's how much is considered significant to be chayev on Shabbos. Tavlin, somebody who carries spices on Shabbos, how much does he have to carry in order to be chayev? Kedei letavil beitzo kalo, in order to season, to spice such an egg that we just mentioned, which is a small size. And umitztarafin zeim ze, and different types of spices, they are mitztaraf, they connect to each other to make a single shiur. For example, if a person used 3 spices to spice such an egg, and had he used any one of them, just a third, it would not be enough to spice it, he would not be chayev. And then, for example, he used a third salt, a third pepper, and a third ginger, then even though each one on their own, he didn't use enough to be chayev, since between all 3 of them, it's a spices which is significant and was sufficient in order to spice and to season such an egg, he's going to be chayev on Shabbos. Klipe egoizin, which is literally translated as the peels of nuts, klipe rimoinim, the peels of pomegranates, istis upua, and these are 4 ingredients that are used for preparing dye, kedei litzvoya behen beged cotton, pi svocha. If there's enough dye that can paint, that can dye the piece of material, a small piece of material that was typically put on the top of the hat of the women's hats, if there's enough to paint it, that's significant enough that if it's carried on Shabbos, he will be chayev. Meiraglaim, which is urine, neser uboiris kamulia v'ashlag, and these are all detergents. These are different ingredients that are stain removers. Then these 5, if one carries them, then it's only significant if there was enough there, kdei lechabis beged cotton, if there was enough to clean, to whiten, or to remove the stains from this small piece of material that was attached on top of the hats of the women. Rabbi Huda says that these detergents, these stain removers, it's enough if he carries just as much as is needed, in order to remove a small blood stain. Says the Gemara, Tanina Choda Zimna, the Mishnah starts that the amount of wood that's called significant if you carry it on Shabbos is as much as you need to cook a dried fig's size of a hen's egg. Asks the Gemara, we've already seen this in a previous Mishnah. We saw previously, Kono, if somebody carries a reed, Kedei Lasos Kulmus, then if that reed is long enough and wide enough or not too wide to be used as a pen, then carrying that on Shabbos will make him chayev. It's a significant act of carrying. Im hoyo av, if this reed was too wide, oy merusus, or if it was cracked, it wasn't able to be used as a pen, then kedei levashel beitza kalo shebebeitzim, then as much as is needed in order to cook a hen's egg, which is the egg of all eggs, which is the easiest to cook. Terufa, and we're talking about this egg, has already been beaten on a suna be'ilfus, and it's already in a pot, and these details we learned in a previous sugya. Then that's as much as reed as you have to carry to be called a significant act of carrying. Asks the Gemara, what's the difference between that reed and the wood mentioned in our Mishnah? There's no need to say the same halacha twice. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you the difference. Mao de teima hosam hu deloy chazi limidi. The reed is not, you can't do anything with it. The only thing you can do with the reed, if it's not able to be used as a pen, is to use it as firewood. Firewood is called significant if it can cook such an egg. However, Avil Eitzim, regarding regular pieces of wood, dechozu lekocha de aklida. One can use it for a tooth of inside a key, inside a lock. We've already discussed that the lock had one of the pieces of the lock, at least that's how it was back in the day. They would have something called a little tooth, and that would make the combination or would allow the key to turn the lock. However it worked, the Rishonim discuss it, then that tooth was sometimes made of wood, and therefore, since you can't use a reed for that, but you can use a wood. So we may have thought that even a very, very small piece of wood would be used and would be carried, and is significant if one carries even a very small amount on Shabbos, a filiculture, even if it's that small. Kamash Malon, so the chiddush of this Mishnah is that even wood, if it's less than the amount of wood that it takes to cook such an egg, it's not considered significant and is not going to be chayev on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, tavlin kadei letavil beitza kala, that spices, if there's enough of the spice that can season such an egg, then he's going to be chayev if he carries it on Shabbos. And the Mishnah continued, umitzdarfin zeim ze, even if you used a number of spices together, then if between all of them there's enough to spice such an egg, he will be chayev. Asks the Gemara, uruminhu, this seems to contradict what we learned regarding other isurei hana. Tavlin, spices of isurei hana, shnayim v'shloisha shemois mimin echod, even if you have two or three different spices, but they're the same type, they're just called something else. For example, taking a pepper, there's white pepper, there's black pepper, there's long peppers, they each have a different name, but it's the same type. Oy mishloishes minim, or if it's made of three different types of three different spices, asurin umitzdarfin zaimze, then they are osa. If there's enough, that means if you put enough spice in order to make the difference to the food, then since the spices are osa brahana, so too the whole food into which these spices were put also become prohibited to have any benefit from them. And even if you didn't use any one spice, even if you used different spices and different named spices, they're mitzdarav zeimze. V'omar Chizkiah commented on this, b'minei mesika shonu. When do we say that either three different types of spices or the same type with a different name, that they combine in order to become osa, or to make the whole pot osa? That's only when they are minei mesika, when they are all able, they all complement each other in flavoring and sweetening or flavoring this particular dish. But if the three spices that are used do not complement each other when seasoning, when spicing a dish, then they do not combine with each other. Hoil v'ra'uyin l'masik kadeira. And since if they are all called mine masika, they're all types of flavors that complement each other, then since they complement each other, they combine to make one shi'ur, one measure to become either osa, or the whole pot will be osa. Says the Gemara, Ta'amu d'chazu l'masik es akadera. The only reason that the combination of three different types of spices will make the whole dish osa is because they complement each other. Ho lav hochi, but if they do not complement each other, loy, they will not combine to make an issa. If so, asks the Gemara, why is that different to our Mishnah, when our Mishnah it just says that mitzdarfin zeimze, that they combine with each other, and there's no condition there that the different types of spices that will be combined to each other in order to be called a significant carrying is only if they complement each other in a dish. Says the Gemara, hochanami chazu lemasek. Our Mishnah also is referring to those types of spices that they complement each other in sweetening and flavoring a dish, and only under that circumstance will the three combine with each other, and if one carries them on Shabbos, he will be chayev. If they do not complement each other, then he would need a whole shi'ur. He would need enough of the spice to flavor this egg of each type, of each group that complement each other. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, klipei agoizim or klipei remoinim sotim upua. These are different ingredients used to dye material, kedei litzvoya beged cotton, that if it's significant enough in order to dye a small piece of material, and we said that this was the small piece of material that's used and was attached to the top of a woman's hat. Asks the Gemara Uraminu. This seems to contradict what we learned previously. Hamoitzi samonim, if somebody carries on Shabbos herbs, shruin, that have been soaked and are ready to be used as dye, kedei litzvoya behen dugma le'ira. Then if the amount of dye that he carried is significant and sufficient to dye a small piece of wool that's used as a sample to show people different colors and different dyes, and that's exactly as much as one would need le'iria in order to close the weaver's bobbin, some tool that was used on the loom, then that's enough, and that's a much smaller amount than needed in order to paint, to dye the beged cotton piece of ochre mentioned in our Mishnah. So why previously did we learn that it's enough to carry dye that can paint the dugma that we just mentioned here, and in our Mishnah it seems you need much more? Omer of Nachman, ha itmar alo, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbe Baravua, lefi she'en odom tereach lishrei samamonim, litzvoya ben dugma le'ira. There's a fundamental difference between what we mentioned previously, where the ingredients of the dye have already been prepared. It's already dye that's able to be painted, to be used. So since you have this dye, and one can just paint this sample with it, this dugma and le'ira, then that's significant enough. If you carry it on Shabbos, you'll be chayev. But in our case, in our Mishnah, we're not talking about dye that's already been prepared. We're talking about the ingredients that still have to be prepared. No person would prepare the ingredients if all he has is that little bit amount that can be used for this dugma le'ira. A person would only prepare the ingredients to make the dye if there's enough in order to paint this beged cotton piece vacha. And therefore, in our Mishnah, where we're talking about unprepared dye and ingredients for the dye, one needs a larger shiur, a larger measurement than we saw previously. Continues the Gemara. Mei raglaim, we mentioned that there's a number of ingredients which are stain removers, and one of them is mei raglaim, urine. Says the Gemara, Tana mei raglaim ad ben arboim yoim, that the urine can be used as a stain remover, as a detergent, only 40 days. And there's a discussion in the Rishonim, is it only till 40 days are over, or only from 40 days are over, from when the urine, when whoever it was urinated? Then that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Continues the Gemara. Neser, another one of these detergents was called Neser. Says the Gemara Tana, Neser Alexandris, we're talking about the Neser that comes from a place called Alexandria, v'loi Neser Anpantarin, but not the Neser that comes from Anpantarin, which is obviously wasn't used as a detergent and is not included in this Mishnah. Boiris, another one of those detergents, those stain removers, the ingredients was Boiris. Omer Rav Yehuda, says Rav Yehuda, what is this Boiris? Zechil is talking about sand. Asks the Gemara of Otani, we saw in a different Braisa, Haboiris v'Achil, that the Braisa mentions a number of ingredients and separates Boiris from Chil, from sand. So you see that Boiris is not Chil. Elomai Boiris, what is Boiris? Kavrisa. It's sulfur. It's a different material. It's not sand, it's sulfur. Ask the Gemara Meisve, we learnt in a Braisa, Hoisifu Alehen. And this is regarding one of the halachas of Shmita, of Shvi'is, that they added different ingredients, and they are hachalvitzin, v'aleinun, v'haboiris, v'ha'oihel. Different ingredients that were added in one of the halachas of Shmita. Says the Gemara of Isolt, kedatoch kavrisa, if boiris is kavrisa, which is sulfur, kavrisa mi'isya b'shvi'is, does the halachas of Shmita apply to sulfur? V'otnan, We learnt in a Mishnah, or in a Braisa, Zeh Aklal, the rule is Kol Sheyesh Le'Ikar, anything that has a root, Yesh Le'Shvi'es, the halachas of Shvi'es apply to them, but She'ein Le'Ikar, but something that is not rooted into the ground, even if it's dug up from the ground, and it's excavated from the ground, but it doesn't have roots in the ground, Ein Le'Shvi'es, the halachas of Shmita do not apply to them. And over here, you're saying that Boiris, Shmita does apply to them, and so Boiris cannot be Kavrisa. Elomai Boiris, says the Gemara, Boiris is not Kavrisa, it's not Choyl, it's not sand, it's Ohala, a different type of something that grows. Asks the Gemara about Tanya, we learned explicitly in a Braisa, Vaha Boiris, Vaohala, that Boiris is counted separately as then Ohala, so Boiris cannot be Ohala. Elo says the Gemara, Trei Gavne Ohala, there are two different types of Ohala, one of them is called Ohala on its own, and one is called Boiris. And that Ohala is what we're mentioning here in the Gemara, and in our Mishnah, it's one of the ingredients that are used as stain removers. Continues the Gemara, Kimulya. We saw in the Mishnah that another one of these stain removers is called Kimulya. Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Shluf Dutz. The name was Shluf Dutz, and Rashi says that the Gemara doesn't explain what it is, it just tells us the name of it. Not what it's used for or anything. We don't know anything about it, we just know its name. Continues the Gemara, Ashlag, which is another one of these, the last of these detergents, of these stain removers, says the Gemara, Omer Shmuel, She'iltinu l'chol nechoyse yama. I asked all the seafarers, all the sailors, what this is, what is Ashlag? V'omru li, and they said to me, Shunano shmei. It's something called Shunano. Or mishtakach, it can be found benukva de marganisa, in the holes of the pearls. Pearls are typically found in the sea. Umafkile, and one removes this shunano from the holes of the pearls, beramtso de parzelo, with a pointed instrument made of iron. Continues the next Mishnah. Palpeles. If somebody carries palpeles on Shabbos, and Rashi says that it's not the pilpul, it's not the peppers that we know, and the Gemara is going to explain what this palpeles is used for. Kolshu, if you carry just the smallest amount, you're already be chayev on Shabbos. V'itron, tar, if you carry tar on Shabbos, kolshu, it's even if you carry just a little bit, there's no minimum amount. Minei besomim, if you carry different types of spices, or minei matchos, or different types of metals, kol shehein, since they can be used even in the smallest measure, then carrying even the smallest amount he'll be chayev on Shabbos. Me'avni ha-mizbeach, if somebody carries from the stones of the mizbeach, or me'afar ha-mizbeach, or from the earth of the mizbeach, or makak sforim. Now this makak, it could be it's the name of a worm, it could be it's the decay that comes from this worm, but either way, it's what we might call book lice, or it's some type of a worm that eats away at sforim, at the parchments, or and when the Mishnah mentions sforim, it means the parchments of the Tanakh, Sifrei Kodesh, and these worms, either the worms or the decay left behind from these worms, having eaten away at the sforim, or makak matpechoseim, or the decay of the wraps of the sforim. Culture, even the smallest amount, if one carries it on Shabbos, will be chayiv. Why? Shematznien oison legoinzon, because they are stored away in order to do gniza. We know it's a Gemara Megillah. The halacha is that dvarim shebekdusha, when they can no longer be used for their original purpose, they have to be put into gniza. They have to be put away. You're not allowed to throw them out. You have to bury them. And since a person is very careful to put aside these dvorim shebekdusha in order to hide them and put them away properly with the right respect, therefore even the smallest amount is significant, and he'll be chayev if he carries it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af ha-moitzi musham she-avodah zorah, even if somebody carries the accessories of avodah zorah kolshu, since the Torah said that even the smallest amount of avodah zorah, and even also the accessories of avodah zorah, are osa, and the Torah gave value, gave significance, as far as the prohibition is concerned, of even the smallest amount, and therefore if you carry it, you'll be chayev. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, lo yidbak biyotcha mu'uma min acherim, you shouldn't attach, you shouldn't take any, even the smallest part of the avodah zorah, or their accessories, from the loot, from the cherim, from those the avodah zorah, that have been excommunicated, that have been that are prohibited to have anything to do with them. And since the Torah says ma'uma, even the smallest amount, therefore it's significant enough that if you carry the smallest amount, you'll be chayiv on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Palpeles kolshu. This palpeles that we mentioned in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, that even if he carries just the smallest amount, he'll be chayev lemay chozya. What is it fit for? What can you do with the smallest amount of palpeles? Says the Gemara, l'reacha peh, it's a remedy for if somebody's got bad odor in his mouth, then he can use this palpeles to expel the bad odor, and therefore even the smallest amount is enough. Carrying it on Shabbos will be a significant act of carrying and chayev. Continues the Gemara, itron kolshu, if somebody who carries tar, even the smallest amount, he'll be chayev. Asks the Gemara, l'may chozya, what's it good for? What's it fit for? Says the Gemara, Letzilchasa, which is a type of migraine where just half of the head hurts, and they would use this tar in order to cure themselves, in order to get some relief from this migraine. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, Minei Besomim Kol Shehein, if you carry different types of spices, then even the smallest amount is going to be Chayev. Tonu Rabbanon, Hamoitzi Reach Ra, somebody who carries something which expels a bad odor, kol shehu, even if he takes out just the smallest amount, he's going to be chayev. Shemen toiv, but if somebody takes out fragranted oil, kol shehu, there also is going to be chayev if he takes about out just the smallest amount. Argomon, purple dye, and Rashi says that this purple dye is, he's not sure, Rashi says, exactly what it's for, but he thinks that it also can be used to be smelled. Kol shehu, again, since even just the smallest amount can be used as a smell, therefore it's significant and he'll be chayev on Shabbos. Ubesulas havered, the a very young rose, achas, even just a single petal of such a young rose, if somebody carries it on Shabbos, he's going to be chayev. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah, Mine Matchis Kol Shein, if somebody carries different types of metals, even just the smallest amount, he'll be chayev. Asks the Gemara, Lamai Chozu, what are the smallest amounts of metals fit for? Tanya Reb Shimon ben Eloza, Oimer Shekein Roi Lasis Mimeno Darbon Cotton. One can use it for the tip of an ox goad. It was a stick that was used that they would hit the ox in order to make it move forward. Then the head of this ox goad, this stick, there would be a metal head on it, and this small head, I mean the darbon cotton, this small stick that was used for the to move the oxen, the head of it would be a piece of metal, even a very small piece of metal, and therefore it's significant and will be chayev on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Ha'oimer Harei Olai Barzel. If somebody commits himself and he makes an oath, he says, I'm promising to take to the Bedek Habayis, to the Beis Hamikdash, Barzel, iron. How much iron is called the minimum amount of iron? Achirim Oimrim. Others say, Lo Yivchis Mi Amo Al Amo. It has to be at least a square Amo of iron. L'may Chazya asks the Gemara, what's a square amma of iron good for? And it could be the Gemara means to ask, what's the Beis HaMikdash going to do with a square plate or a square amma plate of iron? Omer of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Lekalya Oirev, it's used as a crow chaser in order that the crows should not nest on top of the Beis HaMikdash. They would take these pieces of metal, a square armor, which would have very sharp edges, and into them were knocked some sharp nails, and this would prevent the crows from nesting there. And typically they would use these plates of a square armor for these crow catchers, and therefore that's the minimum amount of iron that's usable in the Beis HaMikdash. And this person who committed himself to bring iron to the Beis HaMikdash has to bring at least this amount. Vikadomra, others say, Achirim Oimrim, Loi Yifchois Mikalya Oirev. It's the same implications, just saying it the other way around. If somebody said he was going to bring Barzel iron to the Beis HaMikdash, then he has to bring as much as is needed to be used as a crow chaser. Vikamo, how much is that? Om Rav Yosef, Amo Al Amo. It wasn't Rav Yosef that commented that an amma by amma can be used as a crow chaser. It was Rav Yosef that commented that the amount used as for a crow chaser is an amma by an amma. Continues the Gemara, Nechoishes, if somebody committed himself to bring copper to the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Yivchois Mimo'o Kesef, then he has to bring as much copper that has the money value of a silver coin called a ma'a. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo yifchois mitzinoira ktano shel nechoshes. There's somebody who promises, who commits himself to bring nechoshes, to bring copper to the Beis HaMikdash. He has to bring a small copper fork, or as much copper as would be needed for a small copper fork. L'may chozya, what would the Beis HaMikdash do with this small copper fork? Omar Abaya shemechatutin bo es apsilois, they would trim the wicks of the menorah with it, or mekanchin aneirois, and they would clean out the lamps of the menorah with this little fork. Continues the Gemara. Makak sforim umakak mitpachas. We saw that these worms, or the decay consequent to these worms that would eat away at the sforim, at the Torah scrolls, or at the wraps of the Torah scrolls, they need geniza, and therefore a person will typically store them away, even the smallest amount, and if one carries even the smallest amount, he'll be chayiv on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is now going to give us a list of different worms, and really they're all worms that are eating away at different materials, just different worms that eat it away at different materials, they, or different items, we'll see, they have a different name. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, makak, the term makak is used de sifri, for the worms that eat away at scrolls. Tachach is the name of the worms that typically eat away de shiroi on silk. Ve'ilo, ilo is the name of the worms that eat away de invi at grapes. Ufe, fe is the name of the worms that eat away de te'ene, they eat away at figs. Ve'ho, ha is the name of the worms that eat away derimoini at pomegranates. Kulu sakanta, the common denominator between them all is that they are very dangerous. If a person swallows them, it can be fatal. Hahu talmido, there was this student, Dehava Yosef Kamedu Rabbi Yochanan, he was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Hava ka'ochil te'ena, and he was eating figs. Omar, Reb Omar, he said to his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, my Rebbe, kutzin yesh b'te'enin. There seems to be thorns in these figs. Omar Lei, and others say, it wasn't Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan either said to this Talmud or said to himself, kotle peh ledein. This worm called peh, there's no thorns in these figs, but the worm called peh is in these figs, and this worm called peh has killed this Talmud. And the Mefarshim say that it's not likely that he actually said this to the Talmud who was suffering, but he said it to himself. Continues the next Mishnah. Hamoitzi kupas haroichlin. If somebody carries out a peddler's box, and in this peddler's box there were lots of smaller boxes, and in each box there were little packages or little groups or little bits of besomim and other things that they were selling. Afal pishyesh b'minim harba, even though there are many spices in this one box of the peddler, einu chayev elo chatos achas, he's only going to be chayev one chatos if he carried it by mistake. And the reason is that even though he carried many items, but he did one act of carrying, he carried out the peddler's box. Zeroi negino, if somebody carries garden seeds, pochus mikrei greres, the amount of seeds that he needs in order to be chayev on Shabbos is less than the size of a dried fig. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that the amount of seeds you need to be chayev on Shabbos, if you carry them, chamisha, is five seeds. Zera kishuin, the seeds of kishuin, which are sometimes translated as cucumbers, shnaim, two seeds are significant enough that if they're carried on Shabbos, he will be chayev. Zera dluin, if somebody carries a seed of deluin, sometimes translated as a pumpkin, shnaim, two of these seeds are enough. Zera pul hamitzri, the seeds of a bean of Mitzrayim, shnaim, two seeds. Chagav chai tohir, a live tohir locust. Now, there are many different types of locusts, and we'll see some of them now in the Mishnah and the Gemara, but some of them are tohir, some of them are tomei. One thing is clear, the tomei ones are completely tomei, they're not allowed to be eaten at all. And when they're dead, they are tomei, etc. Other locusts, there are some locusts that are tohir, and they may be eaten, and there's a chiddush that locusts, similar to fish, They do not need shechita, they do not need to be slaughtered, and one's allowed to eat them even alive. Even alive, we'll soon see in the Gemara that one shouldn't do that, but there's no Eivor Minachai, and they do not need shechita. One can just kill them and eat them. So how many of these live Tohir locusts do you have to carry in order to be chayiv on Shabbos? Says the Mishnah, kol shehu, the smallest amount. Even one small live locust, which is Tohir, is mutter, if he carries on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv. And we'll soon see that the reason for that is because they would typically give it to a little child to play with, and therefore it has value, it's significant, and therefore carrying it on Shabbos from one domain to the next, he'll be chayiv. Mace, however, the dead locusts, even if it was a Toyer locust, but it's dead now, then it's a food item like any other food item, and the measurement is kagregeres. If there's enough there, which is the size of a dried fig, and he carries it on Shabbos, he'll be chayiv. Tzipoyres kromim, which is another type of locust, bein chayo, bein meso, irrespective of if it's live or dead, kol shehu, if he carries even the smallest amount, he's going to be chayiv. Why? Shematznien oisol refuah, they will typically store it away to be used as for healing, as a cure, and since they would put away, they would store even just the smallest amount, it's significant, and carrying it on Shabbos will be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, in contrast to the Tanakama, where the Tanakama said that one, that the carrying a live locust that was tohir is kolshu because he would give it to a child to play, Rabbi Yehuda says, af hamoitzi chagav chai tomei, a live locust that would be given to a child, even though it's a tomei type of locust, not a tohir type of locust, it's also kolshu. It's also just the smallest amount he'll be chayiv. Shematznien oisay lekotn nischoik boy, because they would store it away to give to a little child to play with it. So the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is, would they give a live locust, which is a tomei type of locust, to a little child? And the Gemara is going to discuss the point of their discussion. Says the Gemara, Uruminu, we're going to ask a contradiction. We saw here in the Mishnah that in order that somebody who carries seeds, then one needs quite a number of seeds in order to be chayav for carrying on Shabbos. Zaroi Negino, we saw, was just less than a gregarious, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it needs to have 5 seeds, etc. And this seems to contradict what we saw elsewhere. Zevel v'choil hadak, fertilizer or fine sand, that how much do you have to carry to be chayiv? Kedei lezabel kelach shel kruv. It's enough if you take out as much fertilizer that you can fertilize a single stalk of cabbage. So you see that a single cabbage is significant, and fertilizing a single cabbage is significant. So why should taking out a single seed of cabbage not be significant? Divi Rabbi Akiva, that was the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Chachomim say, kedei lezabel kresha, if there's enough fertilizer in order to fertilize a leek, a single leek, then he's already chayiv on Shabbos. So what if fertilizing a single leek is significant, why is carrying a seed of a single leek not significant? Omer of Papa, says, I'll tell you the difference. Hod zariah, if it's already been planted and now it's a vegetable, a cabbage, a leek, it's significant, it's choshev, and therefore carrying it or carrying the amount of fertilizer needed to fertilize this is significant, because a person would take the trouble to fertilize a leek or a single cabbage. Hod loy zariah, but in the case of our Mishnah, where we're talking about seeds that have not yet become, they've not yet been planted and become vegetables, there lefishein adam tereach lohitzi nimo achas lezriah. Nobody would carry a single seed in order to plant it. Carrying fertilizer to fertilize a vegetable, even a single vegetable, is significant. But a single seed has no significance, and therefore carrying it, he will not be chayev. How much do you have to carry to be chayev? That's what we saw in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. Zera kishuin, which we said was the seeds of cucumbers, the Mishnah said, shnaim, if you carry 2 of them, you chayev on Shabbos. Tonu Rabbonon, we saw in a brisa, hamoitzi garinin, if somebody carries the pits of dates, im linatia, if he's carrying them out in order to plant them, shtayim, carrying two is significant and he's going to be chayev. Im le'achila, if he wants to eat them, then kemloi pi chazir. Then, as much as it takes to fill the mouth of a pig, they were the ones that would typically be eating the pits of dates. And obviously, it's also for a Yisrael to have pigs. So we're talking about how much he would give or sell to a goy who has pigs. The kama, how much is that? Kama meloy pi chazir. How many pits of dates are typically given to a pig? Says the Gemara, achas, even just a single one. So if you're using these pits in order to sell them to those who are feeding pigs, even if you carry just a single one, it'll be chayev. Im lahasik, if he's using them as firewood, he's using them to burn in the oven. Kedei levashil beitzo kala, as we've seen previously, if there's enough there to cook an easily cooked chicken's egg, then he's going to be chayev. Im lecheshboin, if he's using it just in order to help him with his mathematics. Sometimes if people want to remember groups of numbers, groups of five, tens, whatever, and he takes a pit and he says every pit represents one group of whichever number he decided, and that way he won't lose count. If he's using them lecheshboin, then shtaim. Then if he has two of these pits, then it's already significant and he will be chayev. Because one, you would never need one. Because if all you want to remember is one group of whichever number you're counting, you don't need the pit. Two, you might want to remember that there's two, that you counted twice that number, therefore two pits are significant. Others say, till four, a person doesn't need pits to remember. Remember, I counted X number once, twice, three times, four times. When it's more than four, a person might need a reminder, and therefore from five pits, if he carries them on Shabbos, he will be chayev. If he's carrying them with the intent of using them for cheshbon to help him remember his calculations. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. We're going to now see a braisa telling us about different items, how much has to be carried to be chayev on Shabbos. Hamoitzi shnei nimen, if somebody carries two hairs, mizonov asus, from the tail of a horse, umizonov apora, or from the tail of a cow, chayev is going to be chayev. What significance do they have? Shematznin oison lenishvin, because they will typically be stored for these nishvin, which is the straps, which is the nets used for traps. In order to make the nets used to trap birds, they would use these hairs. Miksha, which are these bristles, which is the hairs, the very coarse hairs that grow on shel chazir, that grow on the spine of a pig. Achas, even just one of these, he's going to be chayev, and the reason is because it can be used as a needle. It's very sharp, it's very coarse, and they will tie the string to it and use it as a needle. Tsurei dekel, the leaves of the palm. Shtaim, carrying just two of them, he'll be chayev on Shabbos. Turei dekel, which is the palm vines, these are even thinner and smaller than the tsurei dekel. Achas, just carrying one of them is enough, is significant to be chayev on Shabbos. And Rashi says that he doesn't know what the turei dekel were fit for. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah Tzipoires Kromim, this type of locust called Tzipoires Kromim, bein chaya bein meso, irrespective of whether it's live or dead, kol shehu, even if he carries out the smallest amount, he'll be chayev on Shabbos. And we said that the reason was because shematznin oiso lirefua, it would be used for healing. Asks the Gemara, my Tzipoires Kromim, what is this Tzipoires Kromim? Omar Rav, Rav said, palyo biori. It's called palyo biori. Omar Abaya explained, umishtakach, they can be found, but dikla, in the palms, dechad navra, the types of palms that have a single vine, each one, that's where they can be found. Va'ovdi lo l'chuchma. It can be used in order to attain knowledge. Some people, they can't acquire so much knowledge, and eating these locusts will help him acquire knowledge. Ochil le lepalga diyamina, he would eat the right-hand side of this tzipoires kromim. Upalga de smole, and its left side, romi lo, he would throw it, begufzo de nechasho, into a copper tube. V'chosim lo, and he would seal it b'shitin gushpanka with 60 seals. V'toli lo, and he would hang it b'evra the smaller on his left arm. V'simonoch, and in order to remember that leiv chacham, the heart of a wise person, liyaminoi, is to his right. V'leiv ksil, and the heart of a less intelligent person, lismoiloi, is on his left. So we can remember from there that somebody who wants to attain more knowledge, it means he's trying to turn something on his left to become more knowledgeable. The leiv ksil should become more knowledgeable, therefore he hangs this tube with the left side of this locust on his left arm. V'chokim kama deboi, now that he's eaten the right side and he's got the left side hanging in this tube on his left arm, he should now acquire as much knowledge as he wants. Kama deboi, as much as he wants. V'gomar kama deboi, and he should learn as much as he wants. And now, in order to retain the knowledge, v'ochil lei le'idoch palga, he now has to eat this left part, the left hand side of this tzipoires kromim. He has to eat it, the left hand side. If he doesn't eat it, me'akor talmudei, then the learning, the knowledge, and everything he's learned consequent to this tzipoires kromim is going to be uprooted. He's going to forget it. He's going to lose it. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer af hamoitzi v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah there was a machlekas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda whether a person would give a live locust which is tomei to a child. Everybody agrees a person would give a live locust which is tohir to a little child to play with. Rabbi Yehuda says also a tomei one would be given to a child to play with. Says the Gemara, but Tana Kama Sovar, loy, the Tana Kama say that a person would not give a live locust, which is of the tomei type, to his child. My Tama, why would a person not give such a locust to his child? Dilma Ochile, maybe he's going to eat it in his tomei, he's not allowed to eat it. Yehocha, says the Gemara, if you're concerned that the child is going to eat the locust that you've given him, tohir nami, then even giving him a tohir locust, you shouldn't give him because he might eat it. Dehor Rav Kahana, v'koim kamed Rav. Rav Kahana was standing in front of Rav, v'havakom me'ever shushiva, and he passed, he was holding a locust, a tohir locust called shushiva, apume, over his mouth. Omar Le, so Rav told Rav Kahana, shokle, remove it from in front of your mouth. Deloy lemri, so people shouldn't say, meichel ka'ochele, that you're eating a live locust. O ka'ovar mishum bal teshaksu, it's nafshes eichem. There's an issa to eat something which is abominable. It's not nice to eat it. To eat a locust like that is something called bal teshaksu, and so people shouldn't accuse you of eating it. Remove it from your mouth. So you see clearly that even eating a tohir locust is an issa of bal teshaktzu, at least when it's alive. So how can you give Tanakama, if you don't want to give a tomei locust, which is live, to your son, to your child to play with, how can you give him a tohir one? He might eat it, and he'll be transgressing bal teshaktzu. Elo dilma mayis v'ochilei. The reason that I don't want to give him a locust, which is tomei, is because the locust might die, and then the child's going to eat it, and he's not allowed to eat a tomei locust. But if I give him a tohir one, then if it's going to die, he's allowed to eat it. It's not bal teshaksu, it's only bal teshaksu to eat a live locust, not to eat a dead locust. And it doesn't matter that it didn't have shechita. As we said before, it doesn't need shechita. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, imayis. Rav Yehuda says that, understand, the truth is that if you give a child to play with, understand, you Tanakama, you're afraid that it's going to die, and the child's going to eat it, and therefore you don't want to give him a tomei locust, but you're okay giving him a tohir locust. Rav Yehuda say that cotton mispat sofidle, if a little child is playing with a locust, it becomes his friend, and if it dies, then he's going to ologize it. He's going to be sad that it died. He's going to do a hesped on it, and he's certainly not going to come and eat it. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says there's no problem of giving even a tomei locust to a child. He won't eat it when it's alive, and after it's dead, he won't eat it because he'll be giving a hesped on it, and therefore it was okay. The Chachamim said, no, we're afraid he's going to eat it, and therefore we can give him a Tohir locust to play with and not a Tommy one. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to start the next perek.